This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. If you live long enough, there is a 1 in 9 chance that you'll develop Alzheimer's disease. Now, that statistic applies to the general population, but for African Americans, the odds are far worse. The incidence of Alzheimer's in black populations is double that of whites. At the same time, research on Alzheimer's in black populations isn't nearly as prevalent. So Dr. Goldie Byrd set out to change that. She helped start a research group at North Carolina A&T in collaboration with other universities around the country. Together, they recruit thousands of African Americans to take part in the Alzheimer's study. And she's here now. Dr. Goldie Byrd is biology professor and lead researcher in the Alzheimer's study at North Carolina A&T. Welcome. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
Well, tell us what we know now about Alzheimer's in African American populations.
Well, Frank, as you said, The prevalence of Alzheimer's is much higher in African Americans, and we really don't know why. There is this train of thought that it may be due to some environmental influences, such as high rate of diabetes and high cholesterol, hypertension in blacks, but we really don't know the answer to that. We do know that Alzheimer's is a vascular disease, and so having a higher amount of that may contribute to the high prevalence. But we also wondered if there was a genetic influence, and that's why we were doing our genetic study in African Americans, to see if there is some factor or group of factors that predispose African Americans to Alzheimer's.
Now, we said that in the general population, incidence is maybe 1 in 9, nearly double in African American populations. How confident are we in even the statistics?
Well, you know, we know how often we see it. And one issue that we face, though, is that the 5.2 million Americans that have been diagnosed or been reported to have Alzheimer's is probably underrepresented among all populations of people. So to get a good handle on that, we need to continue to do the research, not only genetic research, but also the population research and epidemiological research. But we certainly believe that that number is actually higher because many people don't yet know that they have it.
And one of the things that you noticed is that when it comes to doing research on the causes for African Americans, there's been little done.
Yes. African Americans, when we began this project with African Americans, there was just so little research being done at that time. We actually began the study at Duke University, where there's still quite a bit of research going on at Duke. But the people that we worked with at Duke have relocated to the University of Miami, and they had one of the largest DNA banks in the country at that time, and that's been about 10 years ago, with respect to samples of blood for Alzheimer's patients. And they had less than 10% of African-American blood. And so it was a very difficult situation in terms of getting the genetics research done on this population because the sample size was so small.
So tell us about that. I mean, why do you think that is, that the sample size is small?
Well, in general, it's been more difficult to get African Americans in studies. I'm not so sure it's been more difficult to get them, or it just hasn't. The effort has been there. What we found in a major study that we did as we began to do feasibility work with this research is that African Americans certainly will participate. But there's been an historical distrust of medicine and research among African Americans. And so it's very, very important that we know how to go into the African American community, how to garner the respect and trust from African Americans, and how to make sure that we're doing exactly with their samples what we say we're going to do, and that we keep them informed of what we're doing. And so there was, at the time that we began the study, there was this concern about whether or not we would be able to get the number of African Americans needed for a genetic study into this particular study. And so we would need thousands of individuals to do a good genome-wide association study, which is what we had intended to do at that time. And so we knew that we would need thousands of individuals. So we knew that we had to create the environment for this study before we actually began to recruit and ascertain patients.
So how did you change your approach for recruitment?
Well, we went out and asked the African-American community. We established some trust in several different venues. We became very well known as the African-American Research Study Group. And we began to make certain connections in the community with the faith, with churches, the faith community. We talked to pastors. We talked to them about the level of Alzheimer's in their churches. We talked to them about what they needed, what they would like to see. We also talked to people who had businesses in the African-American community. We talked to people that we wanted to buy into the study. So we got buy-in actually before we began to ascertain patients for the study.
Was there resistance at first? Was it difficult to talk about this?
Surprisingly, for many people, not us necessarily, but for many people, there was not very much resistance. What we found is that there is quite a bit of Alzheimer's in many of the churches here in North Carolina. We found that people wanted to know more. They wanted to know more about the disease itself. They wanted to know best practices around how to care for and manage their loved ones. They wanted to know what the study was, where their blood was going, what was going to happen with the results from their cognitive assessments and neurological assessments, how confidential their information was going to be. They wanted to know things like, if I participate in this, can I stop at any time? Or do I need to do it over? Will you come back and get more blood? That kind of thing. Will this be of any kind of danger to my loved one? Because what we had to do was basically get consent from a loved one for most patients, because many of our patients weren't able to give consent themselves. So we had to get surrogate consent from their caregiver.
Yeah, I was going to say that must complicate things when you don't have people who are have the capacity to make the judgment for themselves.
Absolutely. And so what we find is more often than not, there is a daughter or a son or a spouse who's caring for the Alzheimer's patient in the home. And these people are already going through the day-to-day burden of caregiving. And caregiving in general is very, very hard. It's very, very tough on the family. And we assist families in understanding some best practice in day-to-day care, as well as planning for the future.
Is this a nationwide study, or is it restricted to North Carolina?
It is a nationwide study. As a matter of fact, when we began the study, we were localized to North Carolina. We were actually working along with Duke and North Carolina A&T, and then we branched out. And so Columbia University and Vanderbilt University became part of this study as well. So all of the sites were ascertaining individuals for the genetic study at the same time.
This is such a complicated and a kind of an interesting problem in some ways. On the one hand, the problem that we now are becoming more aware of, the under-recruitment of people of color in these studies and in the research to find out the particulars, a certain amount of skepticism for historical reasons, mm-hmm. about participating in these studies, but then the kind of fraught question of race-based biological research. I mean, mm-hmm. all of this seems to be a very complicated and, frankly, interesting kind of question that you're coping with.
Absolutely, it is. And when we think about race-based research, we also have to take into account of that the races are mixed. And so when we plan genetic studies like this, we have to use statistical tools to assure that we are making sure that what we're seeing is real, because there is mixture, admixture among the races. So, yes, there is a complicated situation here, but we also know that people respond differently to medication. And so even within races sometimes, and if this is people, ethnicities, people respond differently. So it's so very worthwhile to look at different populations of people, because what happens in the research world and in the therapeutic world is unless a population of people is involved, what typically happens is you generalize. So if one population is involved in clinical trials, say, then we typically generalize results because we don't have that other population for comparison.
And further complicating things, we're really trying to figure out what is the genetic component and then what are the cultural and environmental factors. And as you say, there are environmental factors that may lead to increased diabetes and mm-hmm. other, which then leads to Alzheimer's.
So absolutely.
So it's a very complicated picture.
It is a very complex disease, and all of those provide this interplay that really hasn't been figured out. I mean, this is a disease where we don't really know the underlying reason that it exists, and we certainly don't have a cure at this time, and neither is there a drug that slows it down. So the drugs that are provided for patients are drugs that support the management of the disease, but there is no drug that slows the progression of the disease down.
Where are you in your study, and are you ready to talk about any results yet?
So we have some interesting results, but they are preliminary. And we've published several papers at this point in terms of the genetics of Alzheimer's in African Americans. We're seeing some interesting genes or forms of genes that we see more often in blacks. But we're not at a stage where we can say absolutely what is going on. So we're at a good place in that we have published some seminal papers. And much more work has to be done. We did a major study with about 6,000 samples a few months back, and that study needs to be refined. We had to do it not only with our DNA samples, our blood samples at A&T and University of Miami and Columbia and Vanderbilt, but we had to pull in samples from other people across the country who contributed to this big test for genetic differences. So we had to, because there's so few samples out there in the research, in the DNA banks across the country, we had to pull in from different consortia across the country to make that work.
And the study continues.
The study continues. It will be ongoing for a while.
Thank you very much for talking with us.
Sure.
Dr. Goldie Byrd is a biology professor and lead researcher in the Alzheimer's study at North Carolina A&T. Just ahead, more on the State of Things. Stay with us on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.